All right, we're going to get started this morning, guys. If you're still fellowshipping, giving, whatever you're doing, go ahead. You won't bother me. A couple of announcement things that were given to me really quick. First of all, there is nursery downstairs, and so it is age 1 through 7 is what we're trying this week, all right? So we've got the new floor down there. How many of you like the floor? You saw your little... Yeah. We laid that yesterday. We're pros at it. We'll come to your house and lay it there, too. Don't worry. Whatever you, they'll come to your, I'm not ever late. No, we laid that though. If you'd like to help us do things, just contact us at the church. If you think, hey, I could do that. Even if you don't think, we can teach you. They taught me, so we can teach you how to do it. But the other thing connected with that is we have the nursery downstairs. We also have the cry room in the back, in the open space back there, a beautiful room in the back. Some of you took exception to me calling it a closet last week, so it is not a closet. It is a beautiful space open for a cry room. If you'd like to use that, you are more than welcome anytime during the service. But then also, our ladies' Bible study on Fridays needs a nursery worker as well. So if you, I'm transitioning here, right? So if you work in the nursery down there or you'd like to help out with that, it is a paid position. I don't know how much they pay. You'd have to take that up with them, but there is a spot open. They do have a need there for one more nursery worker on Friday mornings, 9 to 11 or 9 to 12, whatever it runs. And we'd love to have you if you want to give of your time and get monetary compensation for it. You can do that. So that's kind of what we have going there. And the other thing they wanted me to announce is the iPad is working for card giving. If you'd like to do that, some of you, they said, couldn't find it. It is over there. So that is the other thing. And then here's my weekly announcement. The men's bathroom is this one. The ladies' bathroom is that one. We know there's a urinal back there. We switched them for a reason. The men's bathroom is this one. All right. So feel free to avail yourself of that during the service whenever you need it. But I wanted to start off this morning and just say thank you for your prayers for the Nepal team. We got back a couple of weeks ago. I know some of you have heard a little bit about it from the trip. But we just wanted to say thank you for your prayers, for your support, for everything you guys did for it. We had a fantastic trip. Dr. Karen had a medical clinic that we helped with, and it was just it was an awesome time. And so it was amazing. The only thing we didn't like the most was our hotel or where we were staying, our little hostel, was right next to a square with like 30 temples in it. And every morning about 4 a.m. you would hear this bell. Somebody be ringing, ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding, like a clang-a-clang. And we could not figure out why they would ring a bell at 4 in the morning. And finally we asked, and they said that the first person to each of the temples would wake the god. Like, that was their duty, to wake the god. And so every morning at 4 a.m., you hear ding-a-ding-a. And at least from the guy's room, you would hear us start shouting, "He's awake! Stop! Please stop!" You got to admit, I mean, that takes some bravery, right? Like, if you know, to go wake your god in the morning. We were talking about it, you know, think if you had to wake God every morning. Some of you, before you've had your coffee, I wouldn't trust you to be, you know, God in the morning. We wake you up, new heaven, new earth every morning, right? You'd be wiping out people left and I'm not a pleasant person to be woken up with a bell. Anyway, so that was the one thing, but it was a fantastic trip. We really got connected with the church there, and so you'll be hearing more about the ministry there and what we can do in the future weeks. But we just wanted to say thank you. But this morning, I wanted to start off with what I think is funny. You might not think it's funny. And what I did was, the last couple of months, I've been collecting quotes from the flood, is what I call them. All right, and so these are the quotes that I like. This has nothing to do with my sermon, but I thought it was funny. This is stuff I stole from you. This is stuff that you've been saying, whether we were at your house ripping out something, or we were, you know, working together or something. This is just stuff that I've heard you say or I've seen around, and I thought they were funny, so I wanted to just share them with you. People keep saying, "It's just stuff, it's just stuff." Sure, it's just stuff, but it's my stuff. I like it. I heard this one, a rendition of this one a few times. The next one: "You got Verizon? Who has Verizon? Anybody have Verizon?" A lot of you have switched to Verizon in the last few weeks. That one day really knocked you. "I told my FEMA guy I'd be waiting for him outside, sitting in my neighbor's recliner. He didn't laugh." I've got fire insurance. What if we just burn this place? I won't tell you how many times I heard this one. And I was thinking, I don't know how many times I said this one, and I was thinking, I was like, if it does burn down, there's about 15 people in Baton Rouge that heard me say this one, and we got problems. And then I like, there's a boat launch at Sonny's Barbecue. If some of you, there's a boat launch at your house. And this is my favorite one. This was on a big sign: "You loot, we shoot." I enjoy it. Some of you aren't. I'll bring these out in a month or so. You'll laugh then, right? It'll be funny to you in about a month. But this morning, guys, let's just have a little more joy about it, all right? I know we came through and we really had a momentum going, and I feel like kind of we're starting to kind of taper off. You get to the 2 month, 3 month kind of, you know, limit. And then you start to lose that momentum you had right after, and stuff doesn't start coming through, stuff doesn't start happening. And so I just want to kind of remind you that there are some funny things to pull out of it. And some of you know my grandparents, all right? You know we call them Memo and Pepa. I don't know what silly names you call yours, but that's what we call ours, Memo and Pepa. And they're up in Virginia now. They right after the flood, they went up there to stay with my aunt. It was a little bit better for them up there, you know, than down here and all this. But the funny story I have from them is right after the flood, so this is the day of, we've been rescued out of here with boats, made it out to Florida Boulevard, took a truck down to Costco, you know, they had the shelter down there, made it out of there. That night, we got a couple of cars, and we were headed north. We were taking them up to Virginia, my family up to Alabama, my wife and two sons. And we're headed north, and so it's about midnight that night, right? It's been a long day. It's been a crazy day. And so in my car, I was driving, and I had my grandmother, she's 87 now, 88, in the passenger seat, and everyone else in the back, my wife, two sons, my parents, everyone's in this back of this car, and everyone's asleep. And so I don't know how many of you are night drivers. Who's a night driver in here? How many of you are not night drivers? You know, there we go. Just stay away from me. And how many of you still drive at night? I'm watching your... Yeah, all right. But I'm a night driver, right? I like to lock in. So everybody's asleep, I think, and you'll see in a second that they're not. And I'm kind of locked in on the road somewhere in Mississippi, going about 70 miles an hour. And my little grandmother's asleep right here. And suddenly I see a little motion out of my, you know, my peripheral vision. And I look over, and there's a hand reaching, and it grabs the shifter. And my grandmother grabs the shifter and starts trying to crank us into neutral or reverse. And so I give it like a little half-like scream, right? And I'm trying to get in. I'm trying not to wake up everybody in the back. And there's no explanation for this, all right? My grandma's just a little, you know, whoo. And so, but she's got a hold. And so I'm trying to fight her hand off the shifter. And I'm thinking, Lord, we came out of the flood. We're going to die in Mississippi. And we're going to go off. And so I'm like, you know, stop. And so my wife wakes up about in the middle of it. And she's trying to, and so I get her hand off of it, right? And so I'm trying to drive and make sure. And then she makes a grab for the wheel. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, like we're going to, Lord, you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness. Oh, Lord, we're gone here. And so I'm thinking, please stop. And I can't. And she's just kind of like giggling like it's something funny, right? We're gonna. And so this starts like a half hour of me trying to fight her off that shifter and thinking no. And thinking about halfway through, my wife whispered, is her door locked? And I was like, it's the passenger. You can't lock the passenger. She can get out. And so now I'm thinking, if she goes, she goes. That's, you know, oh, Lord, it's hear me, oh, Lord. She, you know, God, Sarah, not. So if you're in my position, you'd say the same thing. But so we think, but if we can draw the parallel this morning, I think for a lot of us, our lives, have, at least the last 2 months, have turned into that. You think you're coming out of a crisis. You think you've got control. And something comes or someone comes along and tries to either grab the shifter or the steering wheel and throw you off again. And it's like we're going crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. John Maxwell has a quote I like. He said, there's only two kinds of people in the world, those who have problems and those who are about to have problems. And I feel like that's us, right? It's you turn around and there's something else that's happening. You turn around and there's something else. There was a group of psychologists that met up in Buffalo, New York, and their idea for a conference for a weekend was to figure out what life was. And they had a full-length, you know, they submitted a paper. But they also came up with their more lighthearted sentence for it. And they said that life is stress and you'd better like it. And I thought I'd have that laminated and given out to each of you this morning. You could take it home, put it on your fridge, I don't know, do whatever you want. Life is stress and you better like it. But I wanted to encourage you this morning and I know that's how we feel. I know I'm not trying to downplay if you've got problems, I've got problems, we've all got problems. But we as Christians are called to react in a different way. And it's not always that we're laughing, it's not always that way, but we're called to react in a different way in the circumstances. I want to start with 1 Thessalonians this morning, and it says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And I wanted you to notice the wording here. It doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. All right. He's not saying that, you know, you kind of walk around. Thank you, Lord. I got 6 feet instead of 4 feet of water in my house. Thank you, Lord, that I got a drop of water in my car. And so they totaled the whole thing. I think if you're walking around saying thank you for that, thank you that it's really good. I want it to be worse. You don't need church, you need therapy. But if it's not that, but it's saying in all circumstances, give thanks. So when your insurance company isn't answering your calls, or FEMA hasn't even contacted you yet, or these things are happening, it says give thanks in all circumstances. And so I want you this morning to begin to remember where your strength comes from in all circumstances. And so instead of looking at these things that are failing, instead of looking at these things that are falling apart around you, what I want to do this morning, I want to give you a quick list of things that do not fail. Things that we as Christians are supposed to look through when we go crisis to crisis to crisis. We kind of rise above our circumstances. We come above it and we say, I give thanks in it because it doesn't affect me, because these things do not fail. Because people and possessions and things that you put your trust in the world, they're going to fail. At some point or another, they're going to give out. But there are things that do not fail. So instead of focusing on the problems, we're going to focus on God. And so the first one this morning is God's word does not fail. Amen. And you don't have to write these down, guys. These are stuff that you know in your heart is truth. But God's word does not fail, because not any of the promises that the Lord your God has given you has failed or has fallen. It'll all come to pass. That's what Joshua told the children of Israel. And Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. The word of God does not fail. And that's the Bible, and that's also what God has spoken to you individually. Because God doesn't just give you a promise or a thing for your life and then kind of cross his fingers, right, and hope it happens for you. And he's like, well, you know, this is what I'm saying to you, but if it happens, it happens. Sarah, Sarah. He's not that kind of a God. When he says something to you, it will happen. God's word does not fail. The second one this morning, we're moving quick. God's compassion and mercy do not fail. Amen. Lamentations 3:22. I love this verse. You don't hear many verses come out of Lamentations, but I like this one. The steadfast Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, God. Amen. God's mercy and compassion do not fail. The third one this morning, what we do for God will not fail. Matthew 6, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, where flood cannot touch. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. What we do for God does not fail. And this is my own kind of private humor. You may laugh, you may not. But about 3 months ago, I preached on Philippians. And we had done a Bible study for one of the small groups. And we had gone through the book of Philippians. And I preached on chapter 3 where it says, I have learned to have much and I've learned to abound and I've learned to have nothing. And when I preached that sermon, I preached it from the idea of even when you have a lot, it doesn't matter. When you have a little, it doesn't matter, because the circumstances don't matter. And I felt like God throughout all of this is kind of whispering, at least to me personally, is did you mean it? I've learned to abound, and that's how I preached that message. I've learned to have a lot of stuff and still serve God and not let it touch me. But did you mean it on the flip side of this? And for a lot of that, that's the same way God's asking you. You know, for so many years, you might have led a Bible study, or you might have shared with others about, hey, we've learned in nothing to give thanks to God and to continue to serve him. But did you mean it? Are you going to continue in these circumstances to give thanks, to know where your strength comes from, to go back to the things that don't fail? Did you mean it? And there's an image in 1 Corinthians 3. It's a story that ends at the end. I think if I put it up now, if anyone builds on the foundation, Paul's talking about the end, kind of a judgment for Christians. This isn't, you know, what your salvation is. Salvation is the foundation, Jesus Christ. He's talking about after that, if you build on that foundation at the end, all your works are judged. Not so much if you get into heaven or not, but what you did for the Lord while you're here. And that's what this point is about, that what we do for God doesn't fail. He said, if anyone builds on the foundation, your life, the things that you do with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. And so the image I have in my mind is you have this foundation, and you start to put things on it in your life, the things that you do. And you can choose whatever you'd like. You can choose anything that you'd like to build on it. You can choose gold, silver, it's talking about materials, but you can do things, right? Everything that you do, every work that you do gets built on it, whether it's good or bad, whatever it is, it builds on your foundation. And at the end, it goes through the fire, and the things that remain are what matters. And so what I want to encourage you this morning is point number 3,
is that the things you do for God are the only things coming through the fire. And I don't know about the specifics of your pile, how big it was, what you had out in front of your house. I had one with all my stuff on it. But no matter what justification I used or whatever kind of exclamations I used, nothing that was in my pile was going to go through this at the end anyways. I can almost guarantee nothing in your pile was going to go through this anyways. And I want to say something this morning. And I want to, you know, encourage you that if you're saying, well, I don't have anything on my foundation, if you're, you know, a new Christian or you're saying, I haven't been building on it, I haven't been putting stuff, there's no better day than today to start that. There's no better day than today to start building on it with things that matter. And there's no better chance, if you lost everything, than to start now with things that matter. And I do want to make a point, and I'm making this one personal. And if you disagree with me, I'd love to have a discussion with you about it. But God may not give me back what I lost, possession-wise. God may not give it, and I'm okay with that. You know, we all like to lift Job up, and you know, we love, and I thought about it today, I was like, we're preaching to a whole church full of Jobs. We're all in that boat, right? But we like to lift that up, how at the end he got back threefold, fivefold, tenfold. But in Hebrews, there's a whole list of heroes of the faith. And they don't list him there. They don't say, you know, because he got all this back, that was his Job's faith, and he brought him back all this. In the end, in those heroes of the faith, some of them are torn apart by lions. Some of them are brought so low, and then that's the end of their life. And some it lists these hero after hero after hero that steps through it that God didn't restore possessions to. And so, like I said, I'm saying this personally to me. You take it in your own life as you will, but God doesn't have to give me back my pile, and I'm hoping he doesn't. Because there's a danger that happens here, and if I didn't tell you this, I wouldn't be speaking the truth. There's a danger that happens right now that I'm seeing in my own perspective and in other people that I've talked with, in that we're starting to equate our godliness with the restoration of our possessions. We're starting maybe to say that you know, I was good, and I lived this life, and you know, I followed after God, and now this is turned away. But God's going to give me back maybe a bigger house, and God's going to give me back a bigger pile, and. And if we think that, though, if we start to equate those two, we go off the path. We lose the reason that we follow after God in the first place. There's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that says, people who are depraved in mind, deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Now, there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out. And so I want to warn you this morning, and this is not, you know, coming down hard. Like I said, this is me preaching to myself, is to stay away from that trap of saying, you know, more, more, more. Because we're in such a way to get back to where we were that we start to lust after wealth, or we start to lust after the possessions, or we start to think. And it's not that, right? We have this chance to follow after God with nothing, to say, in nothingness, I know that I can be a servant of God. In nothingness, I know that I can go after him. With everything that I had lost, I know that I still have God. The things we do for him do not fail. His mercies do not fail. And so this morning, and if you're saying, you know, what do I go after? A little bit later in the chapter in 1 Timothy. But as for you, O man of God, O woman of God, O child of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Wow. And that comes to my next point this morning. The promise of eternal life does not fail. Amen. The promise of eternal life. Jesus said, I give unto you eternal life, and they shall never, never perish. Philippians 3:20 in this verse. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of eternal life does not fail. That's what we're going for. Remember what you're a citizen of. You remember Augustine's City of God, where he's saying, we're not citizens here. We're strangers on this earth. We're looking towards a city. We're looking where our citizenship is. We're passing through. Don't get caught up in the tangles of this. Don't get caught up in selfishness that you never had before, but now that you're trying to get back, you get that. Don't get caught up in it. Eternal life does not fail. The promise does not fail. Next one this morning, love does not fail. Amen. You know the verse in 1 Corinthians, that it's got the whole chapter about love. If I have all this stuff, but I don't have love, I've got nothing. Prophecies pass away. Knowledge passes away. Everything passes away, but love does not fail. It says in many things, right? Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And that takes me into my final point this morning, and that is God does not fail. Amen. Amen. All these things lead up to this, right? God does not fail. Where we put our anchor. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. God does not fail. And I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know who's not calling you back or what's not coming through or what failures or crisis you're going from to. I don't know. But I know God does not fail. Many years ago, before World War II, there was an orphanage in northern China. And before World War II, Japan invaded China. This wasn't part of the World War. This was just another invasion. And this orphanage was run by a lady named Mrs. Gladys Allward. And she had over 100 girls in this orphanage. And as the Japanese invasion got closer, they began to kind of panic and try to make decisions. And they finally decided they had to evacuate. And it was basically just her and the girls that were in this orphanage. And they decided to evacuate. And she began to lead them out, and the place they were going was going to take a few weeks to get there. And they call this, they said it was the most ill-equipped migration in the history of the world, that they had almost nothing. They just had to run, her and the 100 girls. And they had to cross over mountains to get to this safe spot away from the invasion. And it took them so long, and so every few days, she had this kind of like core of the older girls, the more mature ones. And she would, Miss Gladys Allward would express to them how you know, down she was feeling, how she didn't know if they would make it, and she would continue to express the nervousness and the anxiety that she felt. And she would tell them, you know, every time, I don't think we can do it. I don't know if we can make it. And they had from infants all the way up to the teenagers, and they're all trying to cross these mountains, and it doesn't look like they're going to. And finally, after all this, one of the nights, she had one of the older girls, and she writes about this in her book, and she was telling her, I don't think that we're going to do it. And she sort of broke down in front of her, Miss Allward did. And the older girl said, remember, Mrs. Allward, remember that the stories you told us from the Bible, how Moses led the children of Israel out, the Israelites, right, across the Red Sea. And Moses led them across the wilderness, right, and led them all the way. And Moses freed them from Pharaoh. And remember, Mrs. Allward, those stories that we can do it too. And she said, thank you. It's very encouraging, but I have to tell you something. And she told the little girl, I'm not Moses. Like, I'm not. And I love this line. It's in her book. She said, the little girl looked at her and she said, I know you're not Mrs. Allward. I know you're not Moses, but God is still God. Amen. Amen. And so God is still, and this morning, I don't know who you are. I know you're not Moses. I know you're not these heroes from Hebrews that I talked about. I know you're not this great whatever. I know I'm not. But one thing I do know is God is still God. And God does not fail. Come on, let's pray this morning. Father God, I thank you, Lord. Father, that in all these things of shifting ground around us, God, all these things that fall out beneath us, God, that we have these truths in you, Father, that you do not fail. That your promises do not fail, that your word does not fail, Lord. So whoever we are, Lord, whatever we're going through, Father, whatever problems we've got, Lord, we lay them at your feet and we say, I don't know who I am, Lord. I don't know what I can accomplish, but I know who you are. And I know that God is still God, the same God, Father, who worked miracles in the Bible, the same God is working it in our lives today. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. I thank you for what you're going to do in our lives and the lives of every person in this church. That you're going to bring us through this, Father. That you're going to be a God to us. We praise you and we love you, Lord. We thank you for who you are. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. Be encouraged this week, guys. Be encouraged. Go out from here. We'll have our small groups during the week, and we'll see you at prayer on Wednesday night.